Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies, theological reflections, and occasional talk by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the 32nd Sunday of Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle B.
I was mentioning to some fellow preachers, I was with Dominicans this week in a meeting of campus ministers, and I mentioned that any of us that do this for a living, and especially preach weekly this time of the year, it's really challenging because on the one hand, I think God says the same thing week after week. How many different ways can you say, I love you? That's God's message to us in season, out of season, every season. And it's the preacher's job to somehow make that come alive and lodge in our hearts. But this particular, near the end of the year, the calendar year and the change of seasons and the coming of the darkness, there's so many references to final things, last things, staying alert, paying attention, knowing that the time is short. Today, it's with that first reading, very peculiar first reading of this prophet saying to this poor woman, give me a cup of water. And as she's on her way to get, oh, by the way, I'd like a snack. Would you give me some bread? And she'll reply, you know, it's funny you should mention it because I've got about this much left. I've got just enough flour and just enough oil to make one pathetic little cake for my son and I to share. And after that, we're going to starve. The prophet simply says, feed me first. Feed me first. And God knows why, but she does. She does. And then we hear that then the blessing that's returned to her is that the jar doesn't run empty. And she survives the drought. So does her son. Jesus is on his way to the temple and in fact is now in the temple. And is going to take on the whole nasty business of this powerful religious place that's quite willing to receive this poor widow's last coins. Maybe it'll go for new vestments. I wonder if your life inspires you as much as mine inspires me. Maybe it's because I get to be around such great people all the time, but I'm always being inspired by people around me, and this week, especially so. I kind of shoehorned into this busy time of my life a quick trip to Texas to go to my college reunion. I've never been to one. I graduated in 1978, never been to a reunion, and it's not even one of the big years for me. All it took was this little hook. I read in the email that they're having a special event for alumni authors. And I've written a book. So I thought, sure, I'll go back. I'll promote my little book and I can look up some friends and stuff. So I called the friends that I stay with when I'm in town. They met when we were all undergraduates. They were one of those love-at-first-sight couples. As soon as you saw them side by side, you knew they were going to be married. And they have been all that time. So I got an email 3 days ago, just before making my trip, letting me know that he's asking for a divorce. But don't worry. We're both going to be in the house, and we get along just fine. Well, that's going to change my trip a little bit. And it did. But it turns out he feels like he's so broken inside that he doesn't know how much more broken he might get. And he feels like it would be a service, a kindness to his wife to send her away so that whatever bad stuff might happen to him going forward, he doesn't drag her down. Okay? That's what he's thinking. I'm in the middle of it now. And she's saying, but he's the love of my life. I'm not going anywhere, and he can't run me off. And she pretty much stood up to him and said, I signed up for the whole trip. And if I have to go down with you, I go down with you. That's what I signed up for. I don't know how that little story will play out. But earlier today, I did a wedding. I hardly ever do a wedding on a Sunday. I kind of regretted saying yes to this one. But I did it. I scolded this couple because they were hard to work with. And I thought, well, now I've probably seen the last of them. And they came back for more and said, now would you do our wedding? We're sorry. Now would you do our wedding? So I did. And like a lot of other people that we do marriage preparation for, on the one hand, when you're young and you're building your careers and you're dreaming up what your future might be as a couple, it all feels like building a little kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Starting out and having all kind of visions and excitement and enthusiasm about what you might build. And then my job, on behalf of all of you, is to say, yes, but. Yeah, I get all that, but what about poverty? Because you don't sign up to make sure that you fulfill all of each other's dreams at a wedding. What you sign up for is that I'll be with you. I hope your dream comes true, but I'm going to be with you even if you're broke. And yes, I will be with you if you get sick. Yes, and I'll be beside you when you die if you go before I do. That's what you sign up for. Giving yourself away again and again and again. And being grateful for the opportunity to do it. That's what this couple is doing since 2 o'clock today. Then at the reunion itself, I did the little book thing, which was just fine. But I ran into my old campus minister. It was a Presbyterian school, and Raymond is a genteel, retired Southern Presbyterian pastor gentleman. And he and his wife, Mary Jane, have been friends of mine for 35 years. They invited me to go to the picnic with them, the alumni picnic, but I noticed that he was a little wobbly. I used to have to walk beside my mom and be strategizing all the time, where should I be in order to catch her? Is she going to fall forward or backward? Well, we could have taken a little golf cart to the place where the picnic was going to be, but he didn't want to do that. He wanted to walk. Neuropathy in his feet is not going to stop him from walking across campus. So we're walking across campus together, and we happen to walk past the mansion where they used to live when he was the chaplain of the university. And he was walking pretty slow, and some other people are coming up to him and saying hi, and which of those houses did you used to live in? Oh, that one over there. And this woman said, well, Raymond, is it hard for you to look over there and see that's not where you live? For those of you that are listening on the podcast, he didn't say anything, he just gestured. He just kind of threw his hands over toward the house. That's all he said. He didn't have to elaborate. That's his past. Not just a house. But then he said, and you know what? The university. And then he gently said, now, that might have sounded too harsh. That might have sounded too harsh. It's just that whatever that meant. I said, well, Raymond, do you get called to do lectures anymore? Well, what about weddings? He said, what I do now is I bury the dead. Because he loves them and his peers are dying off. So he's got his new job, but it isn't the old house, and it isn't the job that he used to have. He has a new job, and he's burying the dead. But he said that with a sense that this is my vocation. This is my place. This is my job now. Hmm. It seems to me that the Lord invites us all to give ourselves away. As soon as Mass is done, I'm going to the home of a guy who is dying, possibly today or tomorrow. He's down to ice chips because nothing else will stay. And they spent the day yesterday by the bedside watching home movies. I'm driving from the airport, and somehow my Bluetooth in the car hasn't worked in months, but yesterday it did. I'm driving in the car, and the phone rings, and suddenly this guy who's dying is on the phone. Can you come and bring me communion for the last time? Do you know that little service? It's called Viaticum. Do you know that service? It's a little ceremony for your last communion. You hardly ever get to do it because there's hardly anybody that's that alert near the end where they can really take part and swallow, but this guy can. So right after Mass, I'm going to his house to give him Viaticum. Just the sweetest man who's so grateful that the course of the illness, the cancer, has allowed him to be a patient advocate for other people for the last year and a half of his life. And he's been trying to tell me about the blessings of how this changed everything for him, his whole perspective. And that even though he's been a Catholic all his life, he feels like he's really been living it for about a year and a half. He's learned to give himself away because his body kind of warned him that his body was going to give itself away, and he may as well come along. Jesus knows that his death is imminent too, and he's laying it down. He's giving it away. He's challenging everybody else to do it too, because Jesus knows that the most important spiritual thing that we can understand is everything we have here is temporary, except each other. And when we put each other first, and everything else kind of finds its place. Sure, you want to eat the last bit of cake? Yeah, absolutely. Here it is. You want to take my body? Take my blood? Absolutely. Because when I give love away, it comes back. And it's never just one for one. God is always never outdone in generosity. When we give ourselves away in the Lord's name, oh, it always comes back. You never know quite how, but it always does. So as we move into this season now where we're, you know, moving towards Thanksgiving, and then you know what happens at the end of the Thanksgiving parade, the guy on the last float. Santa's coming to town. And we get in this whole thing of tilting towards Thanksgiving and end of the year, the change of the seasons, the mystery of celebrating Advent and God coming close to us. It all comes together, that we've been given this life, we have it for a while, we give it away, and we receive back. It's just that easy. If we get caught up in any of the rest of it, all the trumpery. Poor Raymond, he was so impressed. He wanted everybody to know that Nathan is at Stanford University. He told everybody he could. Stanford University, I'll have you know. Nathan is at Stanford University. So what? So what? And so what to everything else that we can think is so important? We just give away the little bit that we have and do it in love, and trust that the one who gave us life to begin with is going to give us a lot more now and forever.
Thank you for listening to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. Producer, Father Isaiah Mary Milano, OP, with our pianist Albert Tommaso and percussionist Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices at the third floor of Old Union. For Father Isaiah M. Milano, OP, this is Gary Glauber. God bless you.